Zephaniah chapter 3. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 1. Woe to the city of oppressors, rebellious and defiled. And the city in view here is the city of Jerusalem. God is condemning it for its sin. Violence against the innocent had become normal in that city. And so God refers to it as being full of oppressors. Two, she obeys no one. She accepts no correction. She does not trust in the Lord. She does not draw near to her God. Jerusalem had been disciplined by God to try to get her to wake up. But she didn't learn from it. She just became more cold toward God. Verse 3, her officials are roaring lions. Her rulers are evening wolves who leave nothing for the morning. So the rulers had an appetite for hurting anyone they could get away with hurting. Verse 4, her prophets are arrogant. They are treacherous men. Her priests profane the sanctuary and do violence to the law. The priest, who should have led by example, desecrated the holy temple by not conducting the holy rites the way God instructed. Instead of being guardians of God's law and God's truth, they profaned it, they broke it. Verse 5, the Lord within her is righteous. He does no wrong. Morning by morning he dispenses his justice, and every new day he does not fail. Yet the unrighteous know no shame. You know, so the priests were wicked, the leadership were bad. On the other hand, God doesn't do anything wrong. The problem is that the people of Jerusalem were not influenced either by the example of God or by his punishments. So they just kept getting worse. Verse 6, I have cut off nations. Their strongholds are demolished. I have left their streets deserted, with no one passing through. Their cities are destroyed. No one will be left. No one at all. As a way of warning Israel, God had punished the wicked nations around them as an example of what would happen to them if they did not repent. So the punishment of the other nations was sort of like a warning shot fired for the benefit of Israel. But they didn't learn. 7, I said to the city, surely you will fear me and accept correction. Then her dwelling would not be cut off, nor all my punishments come upon her. But they were still eager to act corruptly in all they did. God had hoped that his warnings would be heeded so that he wouldn't have to punish, but they just got worse. And you know, when a sinner ignores God's warnings, they don't get any better. They go from bad to worse. Verse 8, therefore wait for me, declares the Lord, for the day I stand up to testify, I have decided to assemble the nations, to gather the kingdoms, and to pour out my wrath on them. All my fierce anger, the whole world will be consumed by the fire of my jealous anger. And for those who will repent, God says wait, or be patient. Wait and live by faith, because once evil runs its course, God is saying, I'm going to put an end to it forever and punish all who would not repent. So you who want to do what is right, you who have repented, just be patient. It'll pay off. Verse 9, then will I purify the lips of the peoples, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord and serve him shoulder to shoulder. God's judgment on the wicked will result in his people being purified. The trouble that destroys the wicked purifies the righteous. Verse 10, from beyond the rivers of Cush, My worshippers, my scattered people will bring me offerings. People from all over will worship the Lord God. That is what is being predicted here. And Jesus ordered his church to go into all the world and make disciples and baptize them. And so in that sense, this scripture has been in the process of being fulfilled for the last 2,000 years, since the beginning of the church age. 11, on that day you will not be put to shame for all the wrongs you have done to me, because I will remove from this city those who rejoice in their pride. Never again will you be haughty on my holy hill. God says, you're not going to feel shame someday. Why? Because you're going to stop being prideful, and instead you're going to humbly submit to my reign which is abundant in mercy. So good not to feel shame. And that only happens when we are obedient to God. Verse 12, but I will leave within you the meek and humble who trust in the name of the Lord. In other words, those who understand their total dependence upon grace and the mercy of God. Talking about people who put all their hope and all their confidence in the Lord, not in themselves. They are the ones who would be blessed in the long run. Verse 13, the remnant of Israel will do no wrong. They will speak no lies, nor will deceit be found in their mouths. They will eat and lie down, and no one will make them afraid. True Christians, which includes believing Jews, will do no wrong, meaning they will not willfully be a servant of sin. Fall into sin? Yes. Willfully turn their backs on Jesus? Well, if they do, they're not really a Christian. 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Good times of great joy follow after holiness. Verse 15, the Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. When God's people have paid the temporary penalties of their sin by their exile, God's justice is going to be satisfied, and they will be given a clean slate with the Lord and a fresh start, because God is a God who does not hold a grudge. 16. On that day they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion, do not let your hands hang limp. In other words, don't be discouraged, says God. 17. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. God delights in a restored relationship with sinners, as much as the sinners do. You think you feel good when you repent and confess your sin and get back on track with God? Well, so does he. Verse 18. The sorrows for the appointed feasts I will remove from you. They are a burden and a reproach to you. Those who were exiled far away from the place of worship in Jerusalem will be brought back, and they will appreciate what they had lost. Sometimes we don't appreciate what we have and what we've been given by God until he takes it away for a while. Verse 19, at that time I will deal with all who oppressed you. I will rescue the lame and gather those who have been scattered. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they were put to shame. And there's coming a time when God's people will no longer be persecuted, but instead they will be celebrated. Just a complete reversal of the way it is. You know, so as always with God's people, it is bad now for a while, but good in the future and forever. Verse 20, at that time I will gather you. At that time I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord. The fulfillment of this verse is found in the Church of Jesus Christ. God gathers his elect from all over the world and brings them into his church. The complete fulfillment will take place when Jesus returns and creates a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness is the norm. And that is something that we have to look forward to as God's people. Next time, the book of Haggai. Until then, this is Mike Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.